morning.
Yay!
Much better, much better. I'm Salima Wilson, and it is my absolute delight this morning to welcome you to our second annual Laughter is the Best Medicine service, where we're going to spend the next hour pretty much laughing at ourselves. Unitarian Universalists have you may have heard the rumor that they're too smart for their own good and that they take themselves way too seriously. So we're going to refute that rumor this morning, and we're going to bust that myth. So let us begin. I'm looking at the attendance this morning, and I'm just wondering, you know, if the sanctuary is about half full, and I'm just wondering if that's an indication of how seriously some Unitarians do take themselves. Or they may just be on vacation. It could be too. Yes. Okay, so this morning's pianist is Cheyenne Chapman. Our song leader is Karen Magarel. And let's begin together this morning by coming and standing as you are able and willing and joining in singing Enter, Rejoice, and Come In, my favorite hymn, number 361 in your gray hymnal. Comfortably seated again. How about we stand up and take just a minute to greet our neighbors who are with us this morning. And, you know, if you happen to know a knock-knock joke, just because I can't resist, let me tell you this joke. It's my favorite now. I used to be able to tell jokes really well, but then I got not so good at it. But this one is kind of my favorite. A priest, a minister, and a rabbit walk into a bar. And the bartender says to the rabbit, "What do you have?" And the rabbit says, "I don't know. I'm only here because of autocorrect." Not bad. Not bad. So this morning, and as you can see, we're doing things a little differently. we're gonna look at ourselves as Unitarian Universalists, and we're gonna laugh a little. I hope you laugh with us, whether you're at home or here in the sanctuary. Know that you're welcome, and that this morning is an equal opportunity offender. So whoever you are welcome to laugh at yourself, and we'll laugh with you. And if this is not a happy day for you, we'll be with you then too. That's what we do here at WUF. We kind of come together in unity no matter what. So let's begin this morning by lighting our chalice. Rick Tangerman is going to do that for us. And we are going to speak together the words of today's opening affirmation, which will be on the screen. So let's read aloud together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful, wondrous, and funny. Let us open our minds to learn what is true, mysterious, and silly. Let us open our hearts to love, no matter how many days. All right. We're making a little switch in the order of service, if you have one in front of you. I'm going to call Kara up to the podium, and she's going to call up the kids. And we're going to have our time for all ages now. After that, we'll sing the kids out to their classes. And here we go. Here they come. Here they come, a little bit at a time.
Come on. Hey, y'all, I know we usually sit here, but let's stand up here.
Yeah, and do you, yeah, let's give you the mic.
All right, let's stand up here where everyone can see us. We're going to teach them a song. This song is called Ruchicha. That's how I learned it when I was your big. Isaac knows it as Tutita. Have you guys heard of that?
Yeah, I know that.
You do know? Oh, perfect, because we're going to teach it to them. So we're going to call it Ruchicha, because that's the way I learned it. So here's what you do. You're just going to, you'll catch on soon. So we're going to go, Ruchicha, Ruchicha, Ruchicha-cha. A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha. Okay, that's it. Then I'm going to call an instruction. You're going to do it and just repeat after me. So actually, I'll just... All right, here we go. So we're going to start just like we did. Ready, everyone? A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha. A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha. Thumbs up. A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha. A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha.
Thumbs up.
Wrists together. A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha. A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha.
Thumbs up.
Wrists together.
Elbows out.
A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha. A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha. Thumbs up.
Wrists together.
Elbows out.
Knees apart.
A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha. A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha.
Thumbs up.
Wrists together.
Elbows out.
Knees apart.
Butt out.
A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha. A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha.
Thumbs up.
Wrists together.
Elbows out.
Knees apart.
Butt out.
Toes together.
A-roo-chi-cha,
a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha.
A-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha, a-roo-chi-cha-cha.
Thumbs up.
Wrists together.
Elbows out.
Knees apart.
Butt out.
Toes together.
Tongue out.
Oh, that was great. I need a nap now. I don't know about you. So let us stand, form arches across the aisles, and sing our loving children out to their classes.
Oh, do it now.
And now we're going to get down to the serious business of the service. And let us begin by listening and watching the some of the folks at the Salt Lake City UU Church. They're going to tell us how to be a modern Unitarian.
He is the very model of a modern Unitarian. He was born Romanian, so don't call him Bulgarian. He's also not from Budapest, Ukraine, or Lithuania. He probably is the coolest thing to come from Transylvania.
I am the very model of a modern Unitarian. I'm here because I lived so long, I'm an octogenarian. With 50 years attendance, I'm a very senior resident.
Although I'm better looking, I am older than the president.
Although he's better looking, he is older than the president. Although he's better looking, he is older than the president. Although he's better looking, he is older than the president.
We're educated, cultivated, liberal, and Turing gray.
We all like Shakespeare, opera, ballet, and we all drink Beaujolais.
We're all egalitarian, and we're humanitarian. We are the very model of a modern Unitarian.
We are the very model of a modern Unitarian. We're ethical, sustainable, and also vegetarian. If you would like to join us, it would not be so regrettable. We have a lot of recipes, and some of them are edible.
We are the very model of some modern Unitarians.
Our masters of theology have made us seminarians.
We never preached a nation, and we don't have a confessional.
We're open and inclusive, and we're also quite professional.
They're open and inclusive, and they're also quite professional. They're open and inclusive, and they're also quite professional. They're open and inclusive, and they're also quite professional.
We're always looking for new ways to make the world a better place.
But Utah politics ensure we often fall down on our face.
We're all egalitarian, and we're humanitarian. We are the very model of a modern Unitarian.
I am the very model of a modern Unitarian. Devotion to the evidence has made me a contrarian. If you're the optimistic type, believing everything you read, consider that a friend like me is just the very thing you need.
I am the very model of a modern Unitarian. I'm coming out the closet and confessing I'm a thespian. I realize the second line does not rhyme with the rest of it.
But being gay in Utah helps you learn to make the best of it.
But being gay in Utah helps you learn to make the best of it.
But being gay in Utah helps you learn to make the best of it.
But being gay in Utah helps you learn to make the best of it.
While driving in our Priuses, NPR gives us our news.
Mind your P's and Q's, for some of us are LGBTQs. LGBTQs. Some of us are LGBT, homosexuals.
We are the Unitarian, we are the Unitarian, we are the very model of the modern Unitarian.
That's going to be hard for me to follow. So, some time ago, a large band of squirrels had become quite a problem for several of the churches around this area. The Presbyterian Church called a meeting to decide what to do about their squirrel infestation. After much prayer and consideration, they concluded that the squirrels were predestined to be there, and they shouldn't interfere with God's divine will. At the Baptist Church, the squirrels had taken an interest in the baptistry. The deacons met and decided to put a water slide on the baptistry and let the squirrels drown themselves. The squirrels liked the slide and unfortunately knew instinctively how to swim, so twice as many squirrels showed up the following week. The Lutheran Church decided that they were not in a position to harm any of God's creatures, so they humanely trapped their squirrels and set them free near the Baptist Church. 2 weeks later, the squirrels were back when the Baptists took down the water slide. The Episcopalians tried a much more unique path by setting out pans of whiskey around their church in an effort to kill the squirrels with alcohol. Sadly, they learned how much damage a band of drunk squirrels can do. But the Catholic Church came up with a very creative strategy. They baptized all the squirrels and made them members of the church. Now the squirrels only come at Christmas and Easter. Not much was heard from the Jewish synagogue. After they caught the first squirrel and circumcised him, they haven't seen a squirrel since. Many of you were not here the first time the squirrels showed up here at Woof. As they did at the other churches, the squirrels started tearing things apart, and they were watched with gentle amusement and compassion for all living things. However, the Committee on Ministry did meet to discuss the situation and developed a plan if they were to return. So the next week, when the squirrels arrived, Salima introduced herself and asked them to have one of her casual conversations where she introduced them to the covenant of right relations. The squirrels were impressed with Salima's calm but forceful tone, and things calmed down quickly. She invited them downstairs for coffee, where they entertained everyone with stories about their adventures at the other churches.
Thank you, Rick. I think. Especially the surprise at the end. So this is a day when we can be really grateful. It's a beautiful day. It's a summer day. And we can just take a little time to think about what it is that we're grateful for, what it is that we have to give. We are so fortunate, I feel so fortunate, to be part of a community where we get to be who we are. Funny, sad, whatever. And we gather together here in love, in compassion, in caring. Yesterday, I had the privilege of speaking at a memorial service for a dear friend who died sadly. This was a person who had a terrific sense of humor, and in the course of the celebration of life, we did a lot of playing with that. The chaplain who closed the service said at the end, you know, she said, I am so grateful to have been a part of this. We don't hear enough laughter at celebrations of life. So let's keep that in mind for when our time comes. I hope there'll be lots of it at mine, whenever that is. Not too soon, I hope. So let's just take a few minutes now. Let's take a few moments of silence to think about and to consider what it is that we are grateful for. and what it is that we have to give this vital community that we're such a part of. It may be monetary support. That's always important. And we will be taking our offering. But it's also the love and care, the volunteering that we do. People are downstairs ready to serve coffee after the service. We have work parties that keep our grounds as beautiful as they are and keep making them even better. There are lots of opportunities here to care and to show our love in together. So if this morning is a time when you are happy, that you are, if you are joyous about something, if you have a celebration that you're in the midst of, if you are having a birthday or an anniversary, or you've just done something great that you want to celebrate, we invite you to come and do that at our silent sharing of joys and sorrows. If you have something heavy on your heart, this is just as welcome. We invite you to come forward after a few moments of silence and put whatever it is that you're celebrating or sorrowing into a stone and place it in the water. So first of all, as we prepare to give and receive our offerings, our joys and sorrows, let's just consider a poem by Thomas Lux. It's called Ode to the Joyful Ones. The epigraph is from an Anglican prayer, Shield Your Joyful Ones. That they walk, even stumble among us, is reason to praise them or protect them. Even the sound of a lead slug dropped on a lead plate, even that for them is music. Because they bring laughter's brief amnesia. Because they stand talking, taking pleasure in others with their hands on the shoulders of strangers and the shoulders of each other. Because you don't have to tell them to walk toward the light. Because if there are two pork chops, they will serve you the better one. Because they will give you the crutch off their backs. Because when there are two of them together, their shining fills the room. Because you don't have to tell them to walk toward the light. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. So I'm looking for Kara, and I don't see her. Oh, here she comes. Good. So let us sing together one of our favorite hymns. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun and snap, the job's a game. In every task you undertake, comes a piece of cake, a lark, a spree. It's very clear to see that a spoonful full of sugar helps the medicine go down. Medicine go down, the medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way. A robin feathering his nest has very little time to rest while gathering his bits of twine and twig. Though quite intent in his pursuit, has a merry tune to toot. He knows the song will move the job along. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, the medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way. The honey bees that fetch the nectar from the flowers to the comb never tire of ever buzzing to and fro, because they take a little nip from every flower that they sip, and hence they find their task is not a grind. For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down, the medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way.
And it does, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes. So it is now my distinct privilege and pleasure to introduce to you our speaker this morning, who really needs no introduction. In fact, when I said, "Is there something special you'd like me to say about you, Tracy?" she said, "Nope, it's just me." Our very own funny lady, Tracy Love Silver, is going to just tell us a little bit about A Spoonful of Humor. Tracy?
Okay, I used to speak a lot, but then PowerPoint came along, and then I got really reliant on PowerPoint, so we're going to try this without PowerPoint, so we'll see. So when Salima asked me to do a service that focused on busting the myth that Unitarians are too serious, I thought, okay, that's an easy ask. So let me just tell you my own personal humor credentials. I was a Unitarian Universalist in the Deep South for more than 25 years. So that's it. That's all it takes. You either learn to laugh or you spend every day angry and defeated and crying. Now, since moving here, I've learned that a lot of people don't really get what it was like being a Unitarian Universalist in the Deep South, or certainly raising Unitarian Universalist kids in the Deep South. So let me just ask a question. By a show of hands, how many of you know, I mean really know, that we're all going to hell? Okay, had you lived in the South, you would have been told that definitively lots of times. You would know it. So, and by people, you had been told by people who like you, who were just sincerely and honestly concerned for your immortal soul. Now, you could rationalize that all day long, that their intentions were good, that they really were concerned that you were going to burn for eternity. But somehow, when you're walking through the grocery store and you realize that easily 8 in 10 people that are walking past you don't just believe that everything you believe is wrong, they think it's evil. So it grates on you. Now, full disclosure, I should probably add that I wasn't just a Unitarian. I was the community services director of Planned Parenthood. I was also the president of the Memphis chapter of the National Organization for Women. there were a lot of lesbians in that organization. So, and then I was also the co-founder of the Pro-Choice Coalition of West Tennessee. So I was a target for the right. I mean, there were kids that weren't allowed to play at our house. I got threats in the mail. I got prayed for by name by the Grand Poobah of the Southern Baptist Convention. Yeah. I'm very, very accomplished. I was not just going to hell. I was the freaking band leader to get there, right? So I say this to say that humor, more than anything else, is what allowed me to keep my sanity, or at least some semblance of it. It literally was the spoonful, or more appropriately, the wagon load of sugar that allowed the conservative hatred to go down without choking and dying. Now, I've told this story before, so if you've heard it, just bear with me. But it's my perfect example of how laughter can keep you from tumbling into an abyss of hopelessness. So it was back during the days of Operation Rescue, when there would be hundreds of protesters, and they were literally terrorizing women, trying to get in and out of women's clinics. And so around the country, we would organize escorts, literally to physically protect these women. It wasn't funny in the least. So in Memphis, we did this, and we did it every Saturday because we had to. So the clinic had a wraparound porch, and in between appointment blocks, when we escorted people, in between appointment blocks, we would sit on that wraparound porch. And we would very often sing along, because a lot of us have been raised in the church, and we would sing along with the gospel music that they were singing, like hardcore Jesus stuff, right? We would sing with them, and it used to make them crazy. So that was fun, you know, in and of itself. But one Saturday, we were sitting on the porch, and we see this little snake, for no good reason, wiggled his way out of an empty lot that was across the street and into the middle of the street where the protesters were. And I knew it was going to be ugly. So I jumped up to go put the little snake back over there where he would be happy. But before I could get there, there was one of the protesters who started beating this little snake, and I swear to you I'm not lying, with a sign that read, "Jesus saves." It was like an episode of Seinfeld. So I run out there, I pick up this battered little snake, and I plead with this guy, just let me put him back. Isn't he one of God's creatures too? Let's just put him back. And so I picked him up and I put him back there. And about the time I picked him up, I had all the protesters, 50 to 100 of them, I mean, there were like so many, and they started praying for me and praying for my deliverance from evil. Now, I never could understand it, because I remember from Sunday school that when Moses took up the serpent, they started yelling that I was picking up the serpent. Well, when Moses picked up the serpent, everybody praised him because he had enough faith, and it turned into a staff. But somehow that did not apply to me or this particular little snake. So I put him back in the grass, and I've lost my place. I was, when I walked back up to the porch, I'll admit, I'm an animal lover, and I was not at all happy what they had done to that poor little snake. I was also already more than a little annoyed at the fact that the protesters were there in the first place. And all of us on that porch were really upset. We were livid about the fact that they were terrorizing these women who were just trying to come in and make an often gut-wrenching private decision. So there was nothing funny at all about what we were doing. But I got back up to the porch, and then what had happened started to sink in. A whole irony of what had happened. And one of the women giggled. When she started giggling, within seconds, we were all laughing hysterically until we were crying. I mean, we were hysterical. And we watched in amazement while the protesters, we watched, and the protesters just stood there in amazement, like confused amazement, like why were we laughing? But the absurdity of that situation was hilarious. No drug, no sedative, no alcoholic beverage has ever made that significant of a difference to my mental health. I mean, you could feel the weight of all that hatred, all that animosity just lifting off your chest. And we laughed about it for years when people brought it up. So in the South, there is a different sort of kind of humor. And it is a very self-preservative humor, right? There was a time when I would have said, when I first moved here and I witnessed some of the big debates that were going on locally, I'm thinking, wow, we never even could think about that. We were too busy trying to just do the basics. So, because sure, up here in the liberal Pacific Northwest, we do have the luxury of focusing on a lot of what in the South are the little things. Because you can't worry about reorganizing the deck chairs when your whole freaking ship is going down. And that's what it feels like. So, but immediately after Trump won the election, and everybody was here, we were all heartbroken and depressed. But it was that year when we turned around and we had the most irreverent, funny stewardship campaign that we've ever had, because we acknowledge the absurdity of the upside down that we found ourselves in. It didn't change the situation. We still had to deal with it. But it just kind of allowed us to breathe through it so that we could get through what was going to come. And then we had a global pandemic. And that didn't stop us from pushing on. Again, the stewardship campaign capitalized on the absurdity of our shared plight. I mean, that we just sort of made fun of the ridiculousness of it. It didn't make it better, but I think the humor did help to mitigate the loss of the in-person community that we missed so much. And then the two auctions during the pandemic, we decided to go all out silly. We had, on the bright side, the first year, the first pants optional woof auction, which went over really well, even though we had no idea what we were doing, because we did it all online. And then the following year, when we thought maybe we were coming out of it, the theme was the I'm okay, you're okay, Corral. So the humor, what I'm saying here is that there's a reason why so many comedians come from traumatic backgrounds. It's because adversity doesn't just make you stronger. It hones the weapons that you have against it. And one of the sharpest swords, I think, is your ability to laugh.
Yes, and we agree. We agree. So, all right. Anybody know any good jokes? No? Oh, here's one.
I only know two jokes.
Well, let's get a mic to you. Okay. Oh, Brad's got one.
The first joke is very short. It's like, what is this?
I don't know.
An airhead refueling. The second joke is actually a southern joke, so it's appropriate that it follows your talk. It goes a little bit like this. I want to know what my finger and lemon pie have in common. Now, you understand, these are two things you don't normally see together.
a finger, my finger, and a lemon pie. What do they have in common? Anybody? They both have meringue on them.
All right. Oh, here's another one.
Well, this fellow went to prison. He had a while to go, and he was new, so he was just seeing how things went. And he found that after a meal, the guys would sit around a table, and they would say something like, 17. Everybody go, and when the laughter died down, somebody else said, oh, 33. And they would snigger and look at each other. And he thought, well, man, I can do this. So he said, 9. And there was this deathly silence. And he said, what's the matter? He says, well, we number the jokes because we've told them so often, but you didn't tell it right.
One more? Oh, I guess we'll just have to revert back to Ed Wynn. And with gratitude to Mary Poppins and Dick Van Dyke. And now here's your real invitation. Here's your real invitation to laugh.
You know, and when I start, it's all up with... That's what I have to say. I love to laugh. Oh, my goodness. I can't help it. You can see that. I just like laughing. That's all.
Jane, don't you dare. You'll only make it worse. It's really quite serious.
Yes, whatever you do, keep a straight face. Last time it took us 3 days to get him down.
I love to laugh. Loud and long and clear. I love to laugh. It's getting worse every year. The more I laugh, the more I fill with glee.
You're no help at all.
The more I'm a merrier me. It's embarrassing. The more I'm a merrier me.
Some people laugh through their noses, sounding something like this. Dreadful. Some people laugh through their teeth, goodness sakes, hissing and fizzing like snakes. Not at all attractive to my way of thinking.
Some laugh too fast. Some only lust.
Ah!
Others, they twitter like birds.
You know you're as bad as he is.
Then there's a kind what can't make up their mind. When things strike me as funny, I can't hide it inside and squeak. As the squeakulers do. I've got to let go with a hoe. And I... We always have such a jolly time. We love to laugh, loud and long and clear. We love to laugh, so everybody can hear. The more you laugh.
Whoops, don't you two start. Come back down here.
The more the clear. The more we're a merrier. Okay, make yourselves comfortable.
Right.
approaching the end of our time together, and I hope you've laughed a little or a lot, whatever suits you. And we're going to extinguish our chalice and be reminded that laughter, yes, it is sacred. It is super sacred. And the poet Kalyn Hoat reminds us of that in this little poem called God Says Yes to Me. I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said it sure is. I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish, and she said, honey, she calls me that sometimes, she said, you can do just exactly what you want to. Thanks, God, I said. And is it even okay if I don't paragraph my letters? Sweet cakes, God said. Who knows where she picked that up? What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes. So let us leave the sanctuary this morning in the spirit of yes, yes, yes. And let us stand, gather in circle, and sing today's departing song, Let's Go Fly a Kite. Ready?
We need tuppence for paper and strings. You can have your set of wings. With your feet on the ground, you're a very cat. With your face walking fast on you, see the string of your kite. The string of your heart. Oh.